Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday the 18th of April. You are very welcome as we join together to worship Almighty God. Today we're beginning a new series in the book of James, and we're asking, how do we cope with James? And today specifically, as we look at chapter 1 of James, we're asking, how do we cope with trials? Now, I want to make you aware that we're trying something slightly different today. I'm no longer pre-recording the service on video for the internet. Instead, we're broadcasting live. But that does leave us with a slight problem that then we don't have a recording for the telephone line until after the service on any particular Sunday. So what I'm trying to do is to record an audio version of the service that you can listen to on the telephone line. As usual, it won't have the songs and the hymns that we're using on Sunday, but hopefully it will have a little bit more coherence right throughout the whole thing because it's been recorded specifically for the telephone line. So that's the idea. We're going to look together at this idea of coping with trials through James. And we're going to start off by turning our attention to the Sermon on the Mount. And you may remember Jesus began that sermon by giving us the Beatitudes. And in those simple statements of blessing, he managed to turn upside down and inside out a lot of our thoughts on life. Today we're going to take a look at the book of James and ask Jesus to turn our thinking on its head so that we can see and cope with what is going on around us every day. This is what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So let's bow together in prayer. Lord, you are the Almighty and the everlasting. You are the God who guides us day by day, the God who saves us from trouble. You are the God who brings salvation through your death and resurrection. You are the God who blesses, who helps, who is faithful and steadfast, who brings joy, who provides us with all that we need. Lord, today we pray that you would equip us for life. Help us to understand your kingdom and how we are to live. Help us when things don't seem to make sense. Give us wisdom as we face trials. Help us to trust you more than earthly possessions. When we suffer, help us to turn towards you instead of away from you. Help us to trust you as our anchor, that we may not be blown around by the storms. So, Lord, we pray today that you would guide us and help us in everything that we do. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from James chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Amen. If you could ask God one question, what would it be? Something that you have always struggled with throughout your life. Something that has always confused you. We don't have time this morning to go round everyone, but I would guess that if you were to provide a question that you'd like to ask God, then the most asked questions would be about suffering. Why do I have to go through this? Why did this happen to my best friend? Today we're going to take a look at the book of James, and James seems to have written the book to answer this particular question. Why is there suffering? How do I cope with suffering? There are a few other themes that we'll discover, but they're all linked to this main theme. To help you with where we're going, there are three main themes today. We're going to begin with trials, we're going to move on to wisdom, and then we're going to come back to wealth. Watch out for them. James deals with them. And then we'll see next week in the second half of the chapter, he goes back and he repeats himself with these themes once again. So let's set the scene before we try to answer any of these questions. The book of James begins with a greeting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Here we've got a letter. It's been written by James, who is thought to be the brother of Jesus. But he doesn't ever claim this position. He is willing to put his name to it, but he is humble. He is a servant of God, as he describes himself here. He's writing to the Jews, but not the Jews in Jerusalem, the Jews who are scattered among the nations. Now, we're not told why James writes. There's no personal message at the end, the way that Paul would do by sending little messages to the individuals that he knows. So we don't know here if the Jews who are scattered actually wrote to James and asked him this question. Was it an issue in the early church? Well, persecution was obviously an issue at this time. Was it perhaps his idea to write this because he saw persecution coming and he thought he would get in quick to tell people what was happening? The fact that they are scattered means persecution. They have been driven out of their homeland and they are now scattered throughout the land. But we just do not know. So let's begin by looking at the trials that are mentioned in this. James tackles the issue head on. He gets straight to the point. He's answering our question, as it were, why is there so much suffering? How can a loving God allow people to suffer? And how many times have you heard people ask that question? During an illness, during coronavirus, during a relationship that's breaking down, during a bereavement, or during a natural disaster. Why is there so much suffering? Why have you allowed this to happen, Lord? It's direct and it is blunt. Rejoice in trials because they will mature you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. This testing that's spoken of here will, I suppose, automatically make us think about exams and make us think about the whole idea of passing those exams or failing those exams. But this is much more like the process of refining a metal. Whenever you have metal ore, that metal ore needs to be tested and refined to remove the impurities that are in it. What do I mean? Well, a silversmith would take some silver ore and they would heat the silver ore, and they would keep heating it until it would turn to liquid. They would turn the heat up, and the impurities contained in that ore would begin to bubble up to the surface. Then the silversmith would scoop them out, and he would repeat the process again. And again and again. Then, as he peers into the molten silver, if he can see himself, then he realizes that most of the impurities have gone and been removed. And this is the process that God is going through in our lives. If we read Malachi 3:3, we read about the refiner. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And this is what is happening here. God is with us. He hasn't left us in the midst of our trials and suffering. He is right here, and he is involved in the refining process. He hasn't subcontracted it to someone else so that he can sit in peace. He is there. And we're told that this idea will develop perseverance, or maybe endurance is a good word for it, or loyalty or devotion. Maybe my favourite word of all the translations is steadfastness. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that it will develop steadfastness. And here we're told, you know, this is not something foreign to us. We know how this process works. Going through trials needs stability. It needs steadfastness. No good if we're swaying around from one side to the other. We need a rock. We need somewhere firm to stand, something that will not give way. We need Jesus Christ, and we need the gospel, the good news of the gospel, of sins forgiven, of God's wrath being satisfied, of his love shining through. So how do you cope with an unexpected pandemic? How do you cope with an unexpected illness? Steadfastness. Perseverance, that is how you cope. Keep going in the right direction. Don't waver from one side to the other, but as you face the difficulty, be steadfast in the Lord. Faith in God, and that faith not wavering. In verse 4 of James, we're told that perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The impurities of our lives are removed through the trials and the suffering. And in doing so, we are made complete, able to cope with these things. Not easy to see at the time, but God is at work, and we can look back and see the nuances of what he was achieving. Think back to a time when you knew Jesus Christ at his most closest to you. When was that? When did you feel especially close to Jesus? I'd like to suggest that for most people today, it was during difficult times and trials. Not times whenever things were going well, but we felt closest to Christ during the crisis. One of the hymns that we're going to be singing in church today is Be Thou My Vision. And we sing in one of the verses, High King of Heaven, when battle is done, grant heaven's joy to me, bright heaven's sun, Christ of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Grant heaven's joy to me. This is the joy. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. So we begin with the whole area of trials. Then we move on to wisdom. And this idea of wisdom is linked very closely to the trials. There's a danger that we see this as a different subject, but James is still talking about trials. In fact, this is a trial or a test. How do you consider trials pure joy? You need to be wise. And the test here is, where do you get your wisdom? Are you getting it from science? Are you getting it from philosophy? Are you getting it from your status? Are you getting it from your possessions? If you want to be wise, look to God. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. It is that simple. Ask God, and he's a generous God, and he will give to you without finding fault. He isn't disappointed in you. He doesn't disapprove. He doesn't mock us. But he simply gives us what we need. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. And that helps us through the trials. If we look from our own perspective, we feel the test. Is it really that simple? Well, yes, ask and receive. That's how simple it is. But we must ask with faith and not doubt. This is how trials are linked to wisdom. Without trials, we are unstable. With trials, we persevere and become steadfast. We are to ask God for wisdom, believing and not doubting. That's verses 6 to 8. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. When it comes to Jesus, you are either all in or not in at all. Trust Jesus, then trust the world leaders to being unstable. That's like turbulent sea waters, waves. tossing us from one side to the other. We can't control the waves. We can't control a life that's unstable. The believer has to be steadfast. The unstable doubter will receive nothing. The doubter is torn between two allegiances. They're double-minded. And let's remember that wisdom is not a set of ideas. Paul tells us that wisdom is a person. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30. If you cannot see how to get through trials, you need Jesus. You need wisdom. So ask God for Jesus and he will give generously without finding fault, without mocking. Ask for Jesus and then ask for more of Jesus. We cannot ever have enough of Jesus. Again, in that great hymn, Be Thou My Vision, in the second verse, we sing, Lord, be my wisdom and be my true word. I ever with you and you with me, Lord. We need wisdom. We need Jesus Christ in our lives day by day. And then finally today, we need to jump to another subject, as it were, which is still a continuation of the trials. We're asking to think about the poor and the rich. Here is the test for us. When you have a rich person and a poor person, or a humble person, as is mentioned here before you, who do you naturally gravitate towards? Look at verse 9. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. The natural order is flipped over here. In the kingdom, the poor are elevated. We feel the test if we prefer the rich person. Take pride is very like considerate pure joy. Trials are a great leveling experience because we all go through them. They cannot be avoided, no matter how rich you are. And then verses 10 to 11, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Riches can result in this dreaded instability. A life that is built on possessions and wealth will not stand up, will not have steadfastness. The rich are like plants that wither or blossoms that fall off. Beauty is destroyed and wealth will fade away. The poor will be stable. The poor are the ones who will have steadfastness. Verse 4 of Be Thou My Vision says, I need no riches, nor earth's empty praise. You, my inheritance, through all my days, all of your treasure to me you impart, high King of heaven, the first in my heart. This introduction to the letter from James turns the whole system of the world upside down. Trials are pure joy. Wisdom is a person, Jesus Christ, and wealth is unstable. How do you cope with trials? Find stability, find perseverance, find steadfastness. But of course, who of us achieves steadfastness? It's impossible. But there is one who is steadfast, who has endured every trial sent his way, who is wisdom, and who lived a life of poverty in humility. And that is Jesus Christ. Why do we go through trials of many kinds? Why do we suffer? Because Jesus went through so much for us. Jesus suffered and died. And God is making us more like Jesus every day. So if you do not have Jesus, ask for him today. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to him. Amen. Let's finish by turning to God in prayer. Lord God, we thank you today that you are a God who helps us cope with whatever we face in life. Help us cope with trials, Lord, by trusting in you, and help us to find our hope in you this day. And now we pray for God's blessing. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.